Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. John Ireland going to stop by, Ben Lyons, and I think Dave McMiniman. Greg, you never text me about it.
He hasn't gotten back to me, but he said that it was okay yesterday, so I'm going to say yes.
Okay, and Dave McMiniman probably at some point today. So a lot of Lakers-Clippers today. We do have a few news and notes about the latest situation on the Joe Kelly suspension, so we'll have that for you in a second. It's all brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Full court cell phone coverage you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, and 2G. Save up to 50% off the big carriers only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right. So here's the deal. I'm watching the game yesterday, and good God, we were just touching upon it briefly in crosstalk there, but you watch this game. LeBron was bad offensively yesterday. By LeBron standards. I mean, look, by pretty much any standards, but specifically by LeBron standards. But he gutted this one out. In crunch time, LeBron hit the game-winning shot that he had to get his own rebound off of and obviously defended his butt off. LeBron got a stop on Kawhi and Paul George in the same possession. Okay? The last possession of the game to seal the win. Just unbelievably impressive. LeBron hit the game-winning bucket, and on that last possession, the way he stuffed Kawhi on that drive, and then to switch out, would Kawhi force the kick out to Paul George, of all people, then hedged Paul George, and as I told LZ and Andy, pushed PG out 10 feet beyond the three-point line, switched and forced an unbelievably difficult shot, is just insane. Like, that's just crazy for a guy to do at 35 years old. But that right there is why he's the best player on the planet right now. Because even at 35, at the end of the day, for all the grief he took early in his career, oh, LeBron's not clutch. He doesn't have the clutch gene. For all that nonsense, he carried that team and brought them home. For as great as Anthony Davis was early in that game, and he was unbelievable, LeBron is who took you home. Here's LeBron last night on the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I love having the ball in my hands, you know, late in the game, tie game, being down, being up. You know, we had a three-point game with like 40 seconds to go. We got a, you know, a great look for Danny. He missed it. Paul George came back and hit a three to tie the game. And for me, just try to, you know, be aggressive. You know, I feel like I got some contact at the elbow, you know, by Marcus Morris. They didn't call it. But like you was told when you was a kid, you know, just to start playing basketball, if there's no whistle, you keep playing on. So I was able to follow my shot and, you know, put us up for good.
Yeah. I mean, he closed the deal, even though he didn't have a good game offensively. You know what I also noticed is that LeBron is great with the misfit toys. You know what I mean? Like think about the guys that are out there beyond Anthony Davis. I mean, they're nice players, but some of them you're like, woo. I mean, Deion Waiters played well yesterday. Kuzma, where you at, Greg Bergman? Where you at on Kyle Kuzma today, huh? Say something. Speak for yourself.
Kyle Kuzma was fantastic in the second half. He was great defensively on Kawhi, who ate him alive most of the time during the season. And he was hitting shots. He was getting rebounds. He was fantastic. I have nothing bad to say about Kyle Kuzma, period.
Can you now admit that you may have been wrong and that I may have been right, that he plays fine with Anthony Davis and LeBron?
Well, he plays fine with Anthony Davis and LeBron. It's when those guys are not on the floor or just Anthony Davis is on the floor.
No, he plays fine with just Anthony Davis, too. Like, he's fine. It's not the guy didn't even... Greg, the guy, I'm not going down this Kuz rabbit hole with you just yet. I'll get back to that in a second.
It's fine. We don't need to.
The Clippers, by the way, on the flip side, it felt like, Greg, did it feel like to you that it was like PG and Kawhi just kind of playing your turn, my turn a little bit yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely it was, because nobody else could really get a bucket. Your guy, Reggie Jackson, was kind of non-existent. Marcus Morris was basically non-existent.
Why is he
from
my guy? Because I said he's an average. Hold on. You made him a subpar NBA player, and I just said he's an average NBA player.
Oh, no. You made him more than an average NBA player. You made him like a good NBA player.
No, I said he's fine. Literally, the words I used, he's fine. You said he stinks.
I said he's just okay. Like, we're going even lower. But it's fine. It doesn't matter. This is all, you know, what it is, what it is. But yeah, everybody else just really was nowhere to be seen. And that's what happens when you don't have, you know, Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell on the second team.
Yeah. And again, it looked like a team that hadn't played a ton together, particularly the unit that was out there or the units that were out there for the Clippers. You know what I did notice also about the Clippers? And this is not just a last night thing, right? Because I started to go down a little rabbit hole on Clipper film after the game last night. And, you know, they're just kind of bad at the small things, Greg. They are not great with attention to detail. And I think a lot of that comes with the lack of playing time together. Like, it all kind of comes to fruition because of that. And because, frankly, none of that has been there very much all season, right? Like, there are moments that look like juggernauts. Then there's moments you're like, it feels like they're just trying to flip a switch. And look, great teams can do that, okay? They can. Talented teams historically in the NBA have done that. But it's weird because usually those teams that do that at least have a little bit of chemistry, where it still feels like this Clipper team is just about the sum of its parts and just like how top heavy they are and how deep they are. And yeah, there's a lot of talent on paper, but the little things you need to do as a team, it feels like there's just not enough of those ingredients.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think they talked about it on the broadcast yesterday too, saying, I think the whole team has been together fully healthy something like 12 times in the entire season. And now they're not even.
They're 11-1 when they have their full complement.
Okay,
yes.
So it was 12. Yeah, perfect. So 11-1 when they have the full complement. And that's, I mean, how can you gain chemistry when you guys, when they're never, ever together? And to have so many people missing right now or coming in late into the bubble, it just, there's never going to be the continuity that you need. They do have a lot of talent, but that talent has to play together for a long period of time. Ask the Miami Heat with the Heatles.
The Dallas Mavericks series. That is, in essence, what I was going to point back to, is because LeBron and Wade and Bosh that first year did a lot of your turn, my turn, like the Clippers. And they got to the finals. You know what I mean? Like, they extinguished the Celtics in five and the Bulls with Derrick Rose, MVP Derrick Rose in five. And then they faced a team that maybe wasn't as talented as them, was deeper than them, you know, but they had a lot of really smart role players, and everybody knew how to play their roles to a T, right? Like, their chemistry was fantastic. And they ended up losing in six. And that's exactly why I've chosen the Lakers to win the series against the Clippers. There's two reasons. Obviously, I think Anthony Davis, they don't have a matchup for him, but it's the details. The details for the Lakers, even without Avery Bradley and Rondo, are still way better than they are for the Clippers. And I think ultimately, when you're talking about winning in the margins, which is what you have to do in a seven-game series, okay? Like, there are going to be, you know, there's always a crazy game where you're like, oh my God, it was the Alex Caruso game. You know what I'm saying? Like there's always that. Like, I you mentioned those Heat teams. Like, there was the Shane Battier game. He hit like seven threes in a game. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have those moments where somebody hits crazy shots. I mean, Robert Horry made a career out of that stuff, right? So I think that that's a big reason, too, as to why I think the Lakers will beat the Clippers in a series. Now, look, it doesn't mean that there aren't concerns here and that we shouldn't have concerns. But let me get to Anthony Davis for a second, okay? Anthony Davis, I've told you this before, Greg and Laura, needs to dominate this matchup, okay? They're going to need contributions from the others, as I just mentioned, but Anthony Davis needs to put his big boy pants on, okay? Now, here's some stuff about Anthony Davis, and I'm curious to see if you and Laura are concerned about this, okay? Anthony Davis, this season, okay, 53% in quarters one through three. In the fourth quarter, he's shooting 40%. Now, in this game, he was incredible early, and he disappeared in the fourth. You pointed it out while we were texting each other last night, Greg, 2 points, both at the free throw line. And in the four games against the Clippers this season, Anthony Davis in the fourth quarter has scored 2 points, 0 points, 4 points, 2 points. Greg Bergman, does that concern you, considering he is as big a key to beat that team as there's going to be?
A little bit, but I don't know if you have it right in front of you with those points. Do you see how many shots he takes in those?
I don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay, all right.
But I mean, Greg, those are not good point totals. Okay,
No, absolutely.
And let's
absolutely
not act like Anthony Davis isn't getting shot attempts in the fourth quarter.
No, but what tends to happen is LeBron James, and you know this, you watched him for a very long time, very up close. LeBron James kind of is much more of a distributor the first three quarters, really getting Anthony Davis going. And then in the fourth quarter, he usually starts the fourth quarter and Anthony Davis is sitting. So the first, you know, 5-6 minutes is without Anthony Davis. And that's when he starts to get going. I mean, his offense really starts to shine in the fourth quarter because he's been kind of not being as aggressive in the first three quarters. And it's kind of what happened here today yesterday. LeBron James takes over the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis is there as the secondary guy in the fourth, right?
Right. But that he needs to be able to be better than that. He has
I agree.
The output cannot be just that.
No, you need Anthony Davis to, like you said, put his big boy pants on and go for 10 points in the fourth quarter on a regular basis, especially against these Clippers. Totally in agreement with you. A lot of that has to do with what's going on with other guys. Kyle Kuzma is the open guy, and he hit a couple big threes. Alex Caruso getting to the basket. I mean, because they're opening, because they're pushing off.
Well, Alex Caruso got to the basket because the Clippers basically just completely whiffed on who needed to guard Alex Caruso.
Right, but he takes those advantages when they're paying more attention to Anthony Davis and to LeBron James.
But I'm saying that had nothing to do with Anthony Davis. That had to do with just the Clippers just had a brain fart and nobody guarded Alex Caruso.
Well, look, either way, Alex Caruso was really good in that game in the fourth quarter as well. But it's
no, I he's like that. Listen, the biggest contribution he had was that deflection at the end in the last 90 seconds.
Deflection and steal. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, that very well could have been the game. I mean, they ended up going back and forth and Paul George tying it, but still, that could have been the moment. You look back at that. They even said on the broadcast, look back on this moment. Remember this. This could be it.
Yeah. So anyway, Laura, are you concerned about Anthony Davis or are you going to make excuses like Greg?
No, I'm concerned to a point. I have to agree that you can't have your second guy not put up points in the fourth quarter and disappear, especially because we need him to show up. So I am concerned in that regards, but at the same time, I'm not, because I feel like it was an off day and he'll be good. But when you said those stats, I was like, ooh, that's a lot. 53 to 40. That's a big drop and it needs to be addressed for sure.
Well, and Anthony Davis came in, Greg, I just looked it up, with 7 minutes plus left in the fourth quarter. You can't just score 2 points in 7 minutes.
No, absolutely not. No,
if you're Anthony Davis, when you're going to be the key to winning that series. And I'm not trying to knock Anthony Davis. I'm just telling you, we need to see more from Anthony Davis because, again, look, it shouldn't be just summarily dismissed that the Clippers were missing Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell. You know what I'm saying? And that Patrick Beverley literally walked out of quarantine and had to go on the floor without practicing. So all those things can't just be dismissed when you're talking about Anthony Davis. LeBron pulled him across the finish line, but Anthony Davis needs to put his big boy pants on. So I'm going to open it up. 877-710-ESPN. What are your concerns in a series? Now that the regular season series is over between the Lakers and Clippers and tied at 2, what concerns do you have at the moment? Are there concerns that they struggled to beat a Clippers team that wasn't nearly at full strength? What are things you'd like to see more of from the Lakers? Do you believe that we are maybe overstating the Clippers? If you're a Clipper fan, are we overstating the lack of continuity and attention to detail and all those things? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll take your calls on that in a second. Real quick, Greg, another series postponed in Major League Baseball before we go to break. Cardinals and Brewers. The Cardinals, a bunch of Cardinals players. It's funny because Sam Decker, the NBA player, called them out on this. Hanging out in Milwaukee, going golfing, not socially distancing, just kind of doing their thing. And a couple of guys tested positive. That series now shut down. By the way, Major League Baseball at least did learn, Greg, from the Marlins fiasco when they had 4 positive tests. They didn't allow these, even though there was only 2 positives with the Cardinals, they did not allow them to play the series coming up against the Brewers. and where they, which is what they should have done between the Phillies and the Marlins, you know, last weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that they did that because that was ridiculous with the Phillies and the Marlins. But this is all, it's starting to get a little concerning though, right? Because this is all in the East. This were just East teams at one point. Now it's coming more. You're coming into the Central time zone now. And it's all starting to push over because people aren't doing it. It's starting to get a little bit, it's pushing further and further. It's getting concerning.
All right, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. What are your concerns? If you are a Laker fan, as the series is concluded with the Clippers, what are your concerns if you're a Clipper fan? Like, what are you worried about? Maybe you're not worried about anything if you're either fan. Maybe you're supremely confident. But feel free to tell us why at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. All right, we're back in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we can save you hundreds on your car insurance. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Bergman, before I get to the calls here real quick and people's concerns, if you're a Laker fan after the four-game set with the Clippers and vice versa, if you're a Clipper fan, if there are any concerns as we expect these two teams to meet in the Western Conference Finals. One thing that's kind of stood out to me yesterday, my God, man, on social media, it's crazy how everyone wants to play a doctor, right? Like, everyone is, like, freaking out about Zion Williamson. What are you even showing up to the bubble for if you're New Orleans, if you're only going to play Zion 15 minutes? The hell's that all about? I mean, dude, first of all, he left the bubble, right? He was gone for a while and then had to quarantine, couldn't practice for a couple of weeks. So they're being cautious. Before the season ended, he was playing 30 minutes, you know what I mean? And they're just going to ramp him up, probably 15, 20, 25, 30 again, you know what I mean? Like, because they're trying to play the long game. The Pelicans have to balance now versus the long game. And for them, he's their entire future. The pairing of him and Brandon Ingram, who was fantastic last night, and Lonzo, like, that's their future. You know what I mean? Like, that they have to play the long game. I don't understand why everybody thinks that they're a doctor on social media. Like, it's crazy to me.
I don't know. People think that they know everything on social media. It's not just they know finances, they know health, they know whatever it is. They're basketball experts, baseball experts. Everybody on social media knows everything. But I mean, like, I don't know. You don't have a little bit of that feeling of the Steven Strasburg situation where they didn't play him in the playoffs?
No, because I mean, it worked out. They won a championship on the arm of Steven Strasburg. Did they not?
Yes, they did. Yes,
so
they did.
Then at the time, I don't question anything they did before that. They got the result they wanted.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the dude's 20 years old. There's a little bit of, I'm not trying to play a doctor or anything. I'm just saying, like, Patrick Beverley is what, in his 30s? And he walked right out and played a decent amount of that game. He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
He can play.
Yeah.
I bet that game would have been different down the stretch.
I mean, all I'm telling you is this, Greg. I understand your notion that he could play down the stretch. But if the doctors are telling them this is the amount of minutes he can play, I'm going to listen to them.
Sure. You always listen to the doctors. That's fine. I'll go with you on that.
That's it.
Yes.
Like, I just, Laura, like, does it bug you that everyone thinks, I mean, look, this pandemic is a perfect reason for everyone to think that they're a freaking doctor or a scientist all of a sudden. Everyone is a Twitter doctor all of a sudden, right? Like, I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, like Greg said, everybody thinks they know everything online, and then you talk to them in person, it's like,
Yeah,
okay.
They all have degrees from WebMD. PhDs from WebMD.
Yeah. It's Google.
I mean, for the love of God, man. Anyway. All right, let's get to the phones, because people want to chime in on their concerns for either the Lakers, if you're a Laker fan, or the Clippers after the four-game set. We expect these teams to meet. I think the Clippers' attention to detail is not good and has not really been good all year. I think that with the Lakers, you know, I worry about a couple of things. LeBron has only shot 37% against the Clippers because they have arguably, maybe not arguably, probably the two best guys to guard LeBron, or at least try to slow him down. But, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, in the fourth quarter, he's playing on average 7 minutes in these games in the fourth quarter. And the outputs have been 2-0, 4-2 in the four games. And he is a key for this series. Like, if they are going to match up, they need him to be a monster. Let me go to DJ in L.A. DJ, what's up?
George, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
I feel – I listened to Charles Barkley last night. I listened to something that you said, I think, last week about Anthony Davis being the most important thing for the Lakers to succeed in winning. But I disagree with you because the numbers don't lie. His numbers – he's a 27-10 guy. That's what he's going to give you every night. You know what LeBron's going to give you. If they're going to beat the Clippers or anybody in the playoffs, it's going to be the other guys, the questionable guys. What is Kuzma going to give you? If Kuzma give you what he gave you last night, KCP and I believe KCP and Green was 4-for-14 last night. So, I mean, you know what you're going to get from LeBron and AD. The other guys is going to do, just going to determine whether they win the championship or not.
DJ, I don't disagree with you. I mentioned that the others are important, that you always need a game from, like, random player X, right? Role player X, right, in these series. I agree with that part. But, you know, I've been saying this, as you pointed out, for a long time about Anthony Davis when it came to this series. And I know Chuck mentioned it last night, too, on the broadcast. There is no matchup for him on the Clippers. He needs to punish them. And I feel like he was doing that for three quarters, but there is a consistent trend that bothers me that is not happening in the fourth quarter. And the fourth quarter, you know it. The difference between the good teams and the great teams in that sport is winning time, is the fourth quarter and the last 5 minutes. And Anthony Davis has struggled particularly against this team. He doesn't struggle necessarily against a lot of the other playoff teams, but against this particular team, for whatever reason, he has struggled at the end of games. And it's just a little bit of a concern to me.
Okay, but Greg made a good point earlier. What you got to look at is how many shots is he getting? Because if LeBron is dominating the ball in the fourth quarter, he can't just get the ball, bring it up, and shoot it. So it's up on LeBron to get him the ball.
DJ, he's touching the ball. He's just not – he's passing up shots. He's passing up opportunities to put his head down and go to the basket. That's my issue. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the issue. And by the way, there's also a part where if you're Anthony Davis, you were the guy saying at the beginning of the season, I'm going to keep LeBron honest on defense. Right, Greg? Did he not say that?
He did say that.
And he has. Well, you know what else he's got to do? Call for the ball. Hey, it's time for the big fella to eat. And LeBron's going to give it to him. LeBron's going to give it to him. If you tell him like that, it's time for the big dog to eat, he's going to give it to you. Okay?
I mean, that's what Shaq did during all that time.
He
wanted the ball. He got the ball.
Right. And that's what he's got to do. I need him to be more assertive. He's an amazing player. There is not a player in the NBA like him. There isn't. He is one of one, okay? Go show me you can be one of one. When the game counts, when it's crunch time, when it matters. You're doing it against other teams. What is the issue with this team? The team that you should be punishing these teams. You should be bending them over and spanking them right in the butt. All day, every day. Mike in West Hollywood. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Sedano?
Hey.
To me, I think... we know that the supporting cast has stepped it up, but who is it going to be reliable? Because a team like the Clippers, as inconsistent as they've been because they haven't had the continuity, they're so talented and skilled. And when you have a guy like Montrezl Harrell, who's an all-star caliber player, and Lou Williams, who in my mind is one of the best closers in the league in the fourth quarter, who can they consistently rely on? Because we know as great as AD and LeBron are, and they are the best two tandem in the league, in the playoffs against elite teams, you need it. So is it going to be Danny Green? Is it going to be KCP, Caruso? It's going to be – that's the main concern I'm going to have because
they
come at you in waves. And
Mike,
do you consistently think we can get the ball to? Because they're going to bog down on those two guys and make somebody else beat them.
Catch and shoot with Kyle Kuzma has been a big bonus for them. When Kyle Kuzma on catch and shoot opportunities has been fantastic with LeBron and AD on the floor. So that, to me, that's if you're looking for option number three on a more consistent basis, I would say that he needs to be that guy. But
okay,
everybody's got to hit timely shots. the whole point of having the roster that they have, which is filled with veterans for the most part, is to have guys understand that when they're open, they got to hit those shots. And there's going to be chances for them to be open with LeBron and AD on the floor. And whether that's Kyle Kuzma, whether that's Danny Green, whether that's Deion Waiters or J.R. Smith or KCP or even Caruso, even though I know he's not a super veteran by any stretch of the imagination. He hasn't played that long. But those guys need to knock down shots. The others do matter, as DJ pointed out earlier in the first call. But it's going to have to be by committee. But if there was going to be one person to lean on, and thank you for the call, Mike, I think that if I'm looking for a pecking order, if that's what you're asking me, Kuzma has to be that guy, at least in theory. Manuel in Porter Ranch. What's up, Manuel?
Hello, hermano. What's happening, man?
¿Qué pasa?
Aquí nomás. Look, man. First and foremost, the one thing I'm concerned about when it comes to the Lakers was their drop-off at the end of the first half and the beginning of the third quarter, man. That's my concern. They got comfortable. Yeah. It should have never been that close.
Yeah.
And I think that leads into the issue with Anthony Davis in the fourth quarter. They lose rhythm. They lose all that. And the big guys, Dwight and JaVale, are out. And you know, Anthony Davis, he said it many times, he'd rather be a four than a five. And he's more comfortable in that spot.
Yeah, when Dwight got into foul trouble, that didn't help the cause, to your point. Yeah, no, look, I'm with you. They lost Paul George. And thank you for the call, Manuel. Stay healthy, stay safe. Same for DJ and Mike as well. Greg, they lost Paul George in the third quarter, at the beginning of that third quarter. Like, he just went off. Like, he was crazy in that third quarter.
Paul George was fantastic in the game in general. Yeah. I think he was 4 or 5 in the fourth quarter, too.
But he literally carried them to a you know, almost a double-digit lead by himself.
Yep, and you know how they got back into the game, the Lakers? Anthony Davis was playing the five in that third quarter.
Yeah,
and he brought him all the way back and even got him the lead at one point. So it's as much as he doesn't like to play it, and you've talked about this thousands of times at this point, Anthony Davis at the five is their best option.
It's not even a doubt in my mind. You know what I mean? All right, 877-710-ESPN. We got a bunch of people on hold. We'll continue taking calls. Your biggest concerns if you're a Laker fan, biggest concerns if you're a Clipper fan, now that the four-game series has wrapped up and we're expecting to see them in the conference finals. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. There is a thought process. Major League Baseball has revealed its thought process behind the Joe Kelly suspension. We'll get you up to date on that in just a second. It's the Sedano Show, back in 3.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Hey, the NBA's back. Tune in tonight as Luka and the Mavs host Harden and the Rockets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 5:30 Pacific on most ESPN radio stations and the ESPN app. So if you are interested, you know, after Mason in Ireland, you want to pop on, you know, the game, you can find it and many things on the ESPN app. Let me ask you a question here real quick. Laura, get me, when you get a second, find me the Buster Olney sound, because I want to give a quick update on Major League Baseball's thought process on why they suspended Joe Kelly the way they did, because Buster had some good audio from his podcast. But did you know, Greg Bergman, that Jean-Claude Van Damme is back? Did you know that?
I did not, and that makes me very happy.
I mean, Jean-Claude Van Damme was so much a part of my life when I was a teenager. Bloodsport, Kickboxer. I mean, those two movies, I literally can watch them. If they come on my screen right now, I will sit there and watch it. Now, part of me will watch it to laugh at what we were doing in the 80s and late 80s and early 90s, but it is still pretty awesome. Like, if you had to pick your favorite martial arts movie, and it doesn't have to be just because the martial arts are great, what would it be? Like, if you had to pick one, which one would it be?
Lionheart.
Lionheart? Of all the Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, I didn't say you had to go Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, I know,
but of all the movies, Lionheart? Is that the one that he's like, he ends up fighting on like a hockey rink?
Right, he does a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And it's just amazing. I don't watch a lot of martial arts movies, though. That was not part of my growing up. I just watched
What kind of childhood did you have as a boy? You didn't watch fight movies?
I mean, I watched fight movies, but I didn't watch a lot of martial arts movies. It just wasn't like, I didn't go like, oh, I got to go see this martial arts movie. But
what?
Lionheart, I watched over and over and over and over. It was so good.
Man. Yeah. I mean, Lionheart isn't even, I mean, even in the Jean-Claude Van Damme library, I feel like I wouldn't put Lionheart in the top, I don't know, five? I don't know.
Look,
maybe
he's
five,
got a lot of them. He's got a lot of great movies. But to me, that one was the one that got me for him. I was just like, this is awesome. And I watched it over and over.
You're a girl, so I don't know if you were, like, at that time were watching, like, you know, martial arts movies. Maybe you were. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But, like... Like, did you, was that a thing in, you know, like, was anyone in your house watching, you know,
my dad,
martial arts movies?
My dad's a big martial arts movie fan.
Right.
I was like, what movie is mine? I know they're going to ask. I'm like, The Karate Kid, like.
Karate Kid,
you know,
is fine.
That's the one I watched when I was growing up.
I still watch it. When it's on, when it goes on and Mr. Miyagi and Daniel LaRusso are out there and they're doing it the All Valley, you know, competing in the All Valley Classic, I'm watching it, you know, out there. Now, is the All Valley Classic, was it in Reseda or Encino? I think he was from Reseda, but I think the All Valley Classic in the movie was technically in Encino, if I recall correctly.
Pretty sure it's Encino.
Encino.
Yeah, it was in Encino? Okay. Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm looking at the ranking of all-time Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. Obviously, Bloodsport, number one. Kickboxer, number two. Hard Target comes in at number three, according to this list, on Rotten Tomatoes. Time Cop, four. JCVD. Have you ever seen that movie?
I don't know what that is, no. What is JCVD?
Oh, my God. So this movie is like 10 or 11 years old. It's basically a mockumentary. It is tremendous, okay? It's basically him playing himself as a washed-up actor. And he is Jean-Claude Van Damme in the movie. He's playing himself. And he gets caught up in this bank heist where he's like a prisoner in a bank heist. It is so good. It's not really about him fighting. It's just a really good movie. You should watch it. When you get a chance, watch that. JCVD. It is really good.
And by the way, it was sudden death when he was on the ice ring where he played.
Oh yeah, sudden death is ranked sixth. Lionheart is not even in his top 10 according to Rotten Tomatoes.
It's in my top 10. It's my number one, and that's all that matters.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
What's yours? What's your favorite martial arts movie? You didn't say.
Oh, I mean, Bloodsport is up there. I would say Enter the Dragon is probably the best one all time. Like if you had to really look at it, you know what I'm saying? Like. But, yeah, but the Van Damme movies, Bloodsport, is the best one I like. But Enter the Dragon is the best one, I think. So, Laura, play the Buster Olney sound here real quick before I get to the calls on the Lakers. Basically, we've been talking about Joe Kelly all week, right, or the last couple of days. So Buster Olney is got some info as to why MLB came down so hard on Joe Kelly. Here's what Buster said.
My biggest criticism of Rob Manfred back to 2017, I wrote this at the time, I thought he totally blew it back then with the Apple Watch situation, Yankees and Red Sox, because he didn't come down with the hammer and say, this is not going to be something that we're going to accept. You're not going to use electronics to steal signs. If you do it, you're going to get kicked out of baseball. And because he didn't do it, what happened? The Houston Astros just continued along. We've had more incidents, and then we have this big mess that they're trying to clean up in 2020. So I think from his perspective, he came down with something that he really hopes alters behavior.
Greg, are you buying that?
Not in the slightest. That's
me
garbage.
Neither.
I mean, it's just absolute garbage that you're going to go back and think, oh, I messed up three or four other times, so I'm going to come down hard on Joe Kelly because he didn't hit anybody. Like, it just, it nonsense.
Yeah, I'm not buying that either. Not for one second. That's a weak excuse. That's not Buster's excuse. Obviously, that's baseball's excuse. But it's it's weak. Let's go to Greg in L.A. He wants to chime in on his biggest concern with either the Lakers or Clippers after we've wrapped up the regular season series and hope to see them in the conference finals. What do you got, Greg?
First of all, I would just like to say welcome back, basketball. I think before we get to any criticisms of anyone, let's start with that. It's so nice to see a sport that seems like it might be on track to actually finish in the season get started up.
Yes, sir.
As far
Amen
as
to that.
I don't have any. I think AD almost put up like 40 last night. Whatever his criticisms are in the fourth quarter, that's not necessarily on him. It's on the facilitators and the other people that's on the court with him. Like, we need the third and fourth people to step up and do their job. If he's carried us to that point, our perennial MVP candidate and the other people can pick up the slack in the fourth quarter. And any win against the Staples Center
pretenders is a good win. So I'm not going to worry about nothing. Let's get on to the playoffs. Nobody's going to challenge us for the number one seed. A good victory against them. Hopefully they lost some playoff positioning and keep moving forward.
All right, fair enough, Greg. Thank you for the outlook. Appreciate it. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Let me go to Ian in Redondo. Ian. Oh, Ian dropped. Let's go to Jorge in Costa Mesa.
Hello?
Jorge.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love you guys. Hey, so yesterday they were playing great all game, but I think that what you guys are talking about between LeBron and AD, you got AD who's taking care of everything in the beginnings of the game. So they've got a flow where LeBron's going to take over in the fourth quarter and get done.
Whoa! Got to drop
guys.
You.
Sorry.
Let's.
You just make people
Come
so comfortable,
on.
Sedano. I don't know what they want to have. They just feel like they're talking to their buddy, like they're just sitting around.
So all
like,
right, you know, for those on the radio who didn't understand what just happened, the gentleman who was on, let me see, George or Jorge in Costa Mesa, was saying that. You know, he doesn't put it as much on AD because the fourth quarter is LeBron time, and LeBron just gets bleep done in the fourth quarter. And we had to hang up on him because you can't curse, and obviously we had to dump him. But if you're listening on the internet or on the app or on the, you know, whatever, you heard it loud and clear. So you got the full context of all of that. Jorge, George, in Costa Mesa, stay healthy, stay safe, and look, man. All good. You don't have to apologize. It happens to the best of us.
My favorite is when they go afterwards, like, oh, oops, oh, my bad. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was like, whoa, he's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was funny. Oh, man. All right. Laura, is it safe to sneak in another call before we try to get to McMiniman? All right, let me go to Mike in Palmdale. Mike, appreciate you calling in.
How's it going?
Check I'm it good, out. Sir.
Like I said before, we spoke before, there's no Clipper fan besides Wiley and Billy Crystal. But I had a quick question.
Hold on. What about Clipper Daryl?
There's no Clipper fans. They're all Laker fans at heart. Do you think having no fans is going to be an advantage to someone like Kyle Kuzma and Paul George when it comes to playoff time? And then real quick, I think my favorite Van Damme movie was it was Lionheart as well. Lionheart really? Was pretty cool. And I think that boy was from Reseda.
In the movie he was from Reseda. All right, buddy, thank you for the call. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Man, are you worried about the no fan thing? Like, Greg, do you think that will... I don't think that'll impact these guys. And here's the reason why. Have you ever... I mean, maybe you haven't. You know, that's probably presumptuous of me asking you. But I've been to some of these, like, scrimmages and runs that these guys have in the offseason. And those things are just as intense as a regular season game. Like, the way that they go at it... And there's nobody in those gyms other than these guys playing pickup. You know what I mean? Like, all these NBA players in there... doing their thing, the intensity level doesn't drop just because there aren't any fans. I always thought that was flawed logic, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. No, I haven't been to any of those, but there's always somebody with a video camera ready to go. And no, they're professionals. They're just going out, they're playing. And right now, it's what was really cool about all that was like LeBron had CP3 and Melo watching and other NBA players all sitting around watching them. Like, you kind of want to play better for them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Let me get to McMiniman because McMiniman's here. It's all presented by our guests, are brought to you by Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. So Dave McMiniman covers the Lakers for us, NBA insider. McMiniman, what is your biggest takeaway from the game yesterday?
I'll go a little big picture first because it was my first time being in the Wild World of Sports complex. I came down here Monday, I had to quarantine, etc. It's awesome. Like, the setup down here is legitimately impressive. I had to tip my hat to all the folks at the NBPA and the NBA to make it happen, because when we were in the fourth quarter and it was you know, Paul George making that three to tie it, or it was LeBron locking up Kawhi, or, you know, it was the Clippers, you know, using skip passes to find guys open. It felt like we were at an NBA game, a legitimate NBA game. It didn't feel flat because there's no fans. It didn't feel strange because we are in this bubble down to Florida. It felt like these are two of the best teams in the world playing basketball, and it matters. And that, to me, was the biggest sentiment I'll take away, because a part of my concern going into this thing was, yeah, okay, regular season games and scrimmages, but, like, will the NBA Finals feel like the NBA Finals? Will it really matter? I'm telling you, like, it will. And the players will feel the intensity, and they'll feel the satisfaction to get wins in those scenarios, and they'll feel the complete devastation to get losses in those scenarios. And I think that'll translate to, you know, all the fans will tune in, because, you know, that's what we want. We want these games to give us an escape. And the way, the true escape is when guys really put their all into it and you're watching something to behold.
Dave McMiniman with us here, ESPN NBA Insider, covers the Lakers. That's a great picture you just painted there, and thank you for that, because I didn't know that you were down in Orlando already, so I appreciate that. As far as the game, though, what was your biggest takeaway? Because, look, there's a lot of ways you can go with this, right? Like, the Lakers kind of needed this one for their psyche, right? Ah, it shouldn't matter because the Clippers weren't at full strength. Like, where are you on all this stuff?
I think Anthony Davis is tremendous. that's the first thing that comes to mind. It just started on the Lakers side. You know, AD was spectacular. The way they can get him at different spots of the floor, and he can attack mismatches and to get 17 free throws and be a guy who hits 16 out of those 17 attempts. I mean, that's so valuable. The Kyle Kuzma, all the talk we heard during, you know, the second training camp and during the scrimmages, that he is, you know, this hot commodity, and we've unlocked a new level of him. He backed it up with a game that mattered. Deion Waiters looks like a pretty smart acquisition because he looked good in the scrimmages, and he had his moments. And, you know, it wasn't just his scoring. He scored like 11 points or something like that, 5 for 10 from the field. I think he only ended up with 2 assists, but, you know, you're watching him, and I may be watching with a keener eye because I've been watching him since college. He's a Syracuse guy. Frank Vogel was asking him to get into the lane and find open men. And that's what he was doing, like, all night yesterday. And then that really impressed me. Now, some of the shots that he created for shooters, they missed. But if he keeps doing that, it's going to help the Lakers. And on the other side of things, yeah, of course, the Clippers are missing their two leading six-man of the year candidates. And Pat Beverly, you know, had missed most of training camp. So they aren't the team that they will be later down the line. But, man, is Paul George smooth. When he got hot, it looked like the game was going to break wide open. And Kawhi Leonard is surgical in his precision. And I can't, you know, Kawhi is such a unique experience watching that guy, because I don't know if it's like a joyous experience watching him, because, you know, there's not a lot of highlight plays. But it's something to take in and appreciate. And so, man, I just hope we get 7 more of these in the Western Conference Finals.
I'm with you. Dave McMiniman here with us, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 2 more quick questions for you, because I know you got to run, and thank you for taking the time. You mentioned Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was phenomenal yesterday. In the 2 wins, he's had 30 points against this particular team. But his fourth quarter output in 4 games, 2 points, 0 points, 4 points, 2 points. Playing at least 7 minutes in all of those fourth quarters. That's one thing. LeBron James has shot 37% in 4 games against the Clippers. Which one of those 2 concerns you more?
The LeBron one, because, you know, they have these big, versatile wings they can throw at him. Anthony Davis, like, they don't win that game unless Anthony Davis gets hot in the third quarter. By the way, with a really interesting lineup that I liked that they closed out the third quarter with, it was him and Caruso and Kuzma and Waiters and maybe Danny Green, like the shooters and creators around him. It was a really good look for them. But that one doesn't concern me so much. It's not like he's getting fatigued and getting out of it at the end of the game. So I think that was more circumstantial to each of those 4 matchups. But LeBron, they had defense that can throw at him. And quite frankly, LeBron didn't look great last night. Now, he made the biggest play of the night, the go-ahead bucket. And so it's not like, oh, gosh, he lost his step or blah, blah, blah. But I think it's a tough matchup for him. And it doesn't mean that he can't overcome it. Obviously, he's shown that he can, and he was, you know, pretty much the best player on the court back on March 8th or 9th when they had the third of their four meetings. But that was, if I'm going to choose one of the two, I think the Clippers matchup's harder. It's a tough look for LeBron.
Sure. There's no question about it. All right. Last one for you here, Dave. I was blown away at that last sequence of defense by LeBron. You know, not only just blowing up the Kawhi drive, but then the hedge on Paul George, pushing him 10 feet away from the three-point line to make him take a really tough shot. How impressed were you with him defensively in that game last night?
I really was. You know, all year long, it's been he's taken the challenge, and Anthony Davis is pushing him and to really give a little more on that end. And you know, after the game, sometimes LeBron can be theatrical. I think LA fans are starting to recognize that, being around him for 2 years. But he seemed like dead in his post-game interview. And I've done enough of these over the years where I can kind of tell what he's about. And then later on Instagram, he posted a video where he's like laying down on his hotel floor, and he said he didn't have enough energy to go up and take a shower. Like, that's what it does to someone who's 17 years in the league and 35 years old, to exert that type of energy on both ends. And, I mean, I know he has the mental fortitude and the, you know, training regimen to give him a chance to continue to do that from now until October. But, I mean, you talk about Father Time. At some point, Father Time will come to collect his taxes. And right now, I think he's keeping him outside his door. But he continues to put up efforts like this. You can only go so long doing that.
Dave Bigbeneman, ESPN NBA insider, covers the Lakers for us, does a phenomenal job. All right, man, stay safe out there. Enjoy the time that you're there, and thanks again.
Yeah, George, catch up soon.
All right, man, see you. There he is, Dave Bigbeneman, brought to you by Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Whether you're sitting on your porch or hanging out in the park, Nature Valley Sweet and Salty Bars help you make the most of your outdoor time. Enjoy a creamy, crunchy, sweet and salty bar wherever you are. Coming up next, we'll tell you what you need to know, including a really unbelievable statement by Doc Rivers in the postgame. We'll have that for you coming up in just a second.